Podcast Hangout. This is episode 75. Today we have a new experience because we are broadcasting via live coding. But first, let me greet my longtime co-host, Arthur Sossins. Hello, Arthur.
Hello.
How is it today?
As with every new experience that we have also delays, as usually. So nothing changed in that side.
Tell me about it. But, well, over here it's hot again. The winter is over.
Oh, yeah. So winter is over for you.
True. It's going to be hard. I already have a fan on my left side. I don't know if you can listen to it. If you can't, that is okay.
No.
So one thing that I wanted to talk, to check first, actually, to see if this is working, is to put this on the Google Hangout. So we have, okay, so the lives, we are trying this new live stream using the Live ConnectTV. We are starting a new partnership with this site. It for those that don't know it, I'm going to share the screen here. And it started entering a loop, I think. Okay. So, can you see it?
Loading still, I guess. I only see black screen now.
Could this be the usual problem of Google Hangouts?
Can it be that this live streaming already takes on filming your desktop, and that's why Google Hangout can't do it?
Well, I don't know.
It's like accessing the same camera or something.
Well, the person that talked to me said that it would in under Linux there is no such thing. So I think this is probably a limitation of Google and Guts, because we had that problem in a previous month. So what we can do? You can see my screen sharing, right?
No, I can't.
Maybe if I so, but now you see my screen. Can I maybe
I your camera?
You see my camera, but can you see my?
Oh, now I see it. Yeah, and it's
in a loop, right?
Yeah, it's incepting. Oh.
So I don't know what you are seeing, but I suppose you can see me. Can you see my screen?
Yeah, I can see. Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the topics, and this is the first topic that we are going to talk about. Because I'm not sure what you are seeing.
HP.
Because
version
I'll need to.
Five,
okay, so let's get started with the usual mention of the latest versions of PHP. The last PHP 5.6 version was 5.6.25. We no longer have updates to 5.5 because it is the end of life of PHP 5.5. The last one we talked about last month was mostly about security bugs. So this one for 5.6, I suppose it is. No, I don't know if it is. If it is just security bugs or not. Let me auto hide here. More settings. Okay. Meanwhile, can you tell me if you can see anything in live coding, if it is streaming correctly?
Yeah, let me check.
I could switch to it, but I'll probably enter in a loop.
Yeah, it's okay in web coding.
Okay, so this is a new thing. We are trying. So
I'm under web coding in the meantime.
We're going to move on. Sorry for those that are watching this now or later. We since this is a new thing, we had to adjust some settings until it works. So basically for PHP 5.7, then there is the version 7.0.10, which has mostly some bug fixes. Some of them are also the ones that were fixed in 5.6. because they are basically the same. There are a few also specific PHP 5.7. Now, PHP 5.7.1 is currently in beta 3, and there was an announcement. So those that are interested in testing the new features, you can just, I think you can pull it directly from the GitHub repository address or even from git.php.net. Usually most people do not try beta versions, even newer versions they tend to delay what they are trying. So there is not much to say about this beta, because we have talked previously about the planned features. So I suppose all the features that were planned for PHP 7.1 are currently implemented, so they are being tested. So we are going to move on to the next topic, on which you start talking about the usual feature proposals and RFCs that are presented throughout the month. First, we cover here one proposal to have immutable classes, and I think, I'm not sure if this has been proposed before exactly in this format. So basically it is something that using this this qualifier here, when an object of this class is created, it would just call the constructor, and it could not be changed, that object anymore. So I think you could still call methods of the class, but I suppose it is not meant to alter variables. I'm just not sure if it is just public variables or maybe private as well. I think it includes everything. So the object is really immutable. And this is interesting. I'm not sure which would be a use case for having immutable objects. Arthur, what do you think?
I think the most common one would be relational mapping to the database. You read in data, and you would not want it to change. Let's see. You would not want it to change during the code execution. So it's preserved in the same state as it was like in database, for example, or stuff like that. And you're inceptioning again.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know. Can you talk?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, it is not switching to your camera.
Oh, I see. Now I see myself.
Yeah, because just this is a new thing, because we are starting this month. Google Hangouts is on air, is being stopped, so we are using YouTube Live. So there may be certain differences that may actually prevent. So I don't know. In Google Hangouts, we used to have the auto switch of cameras once a person talked, but it seems it's no longer automatic.
It seems it is if none of the pictures are selected or something like that. If one is selected, then it's always by default, but it's if none are selected, at least it's switching for me automatically.
Oh, it's working again. But when, what about the screen sharing?
Well, oh, I don't know what's about during screen share.
It seems it was not switching to the.
Yeah, maybe if someone is sharing a screen, then it's a main thing.
Okay. No. No. Well, screen sharing only works in full screen. So let me do the inception thing again and get back to the window. Where is that window? Can you talk?
Yeah, sure. So,
It's working.
Yeah, it seems to me. Yeah, it should be. It seems to be working now.
Okay, great. Let's stop the inception again. And I don't know which other languages have stop for immutable objects. JavaScript, I think, does it have any support for immutable objects?
No. I don't know. I think I don't know any weak type that would have natural immutable objects. The strong types are there. In Objective-C, there are mutable and immutable dictionaries and stuff like that. But
it's the functions that prevent the object to be changed, right? Or not? Or is there an immutable qualifier like they are proposing here?
I think it's in even in Objective-C it was a type of dictionary that was specifically mutable because the default one was immutable or something like that. So
yeah, so it's something implemented in the class, not something that comes from the language, right?
No, maybe. I actually don't know. No, maybe both. But yeah. Such things exist, and probably there is a reason for that.
Okay, so basically what they propose is to have something called immutable. But previously there was a proposal called final for properties. So you could not change the properties, because final classes is that you cannot extend them. But for properties, I wonder what they mean, that probably...
Maybe you cannot extend it a specific property. You can extend the class, but you can't override the specific property in new class.
Oh yeah. Oh, it the proposal, it's even called Final Java. So finally somebody admitted that all these features in PHP is to copy Java. Anyway, I don't know what would be a good use case for having immutable objects. You know. Your application.
Yeah, the only one I mentioned that would be the reading data from the database. So mapping like it, and I know that it should not change.
So, but who is going to want to change the results of a database object? What would be the benefits? Could it make it faster somehow? Mm. I don't know.
It's probably you can just pass it around to every class without worrying that someone would change something.
Yeah, or else it probably throws an exception, right?
Yeah, like constant.
Okay, it may make sense. It's just me that I don't remember a good use case, but okay. There was another discussion here that mentioned sealed, and basically it seems all to be... very similar. So here, immutable is for functionality you are currently working on. Sealed is for the above plus type not changeable. Hmm. So immutable, what would be if it is... this is very confusing. And final for the above plus overridable. So overridable is in subclasses.
Mm-hmm.
So, final, it means you cannot create a subclass that redefines that variable somehow, maybe the default. Yes.
And sealed type not changeable, so you can't change a type, you can change a value or something like that.
Mm. So, but what would be the difference between just immutable and sealed?
Immutable would be for the all objects, as I understand, and final sealed should be per property. if we are discussing from the first email that we discussed, because immutable was for the whole class, while final was usually for.
Oh, I see, for properties, individual properties, yeah. Right? Or not?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, this, because the final seems to be for individual properties. But okay, this is something interesting. I don't know what else is remaining to copy from Java or some other language that PHP is not having or is not being proposed, because many of the new features are inspired in other languages.
There is an interesting website called codingconfessional.com where developers confess about something. So someone should confess about why they are copying all Java features.
Oh, what is that site?
Let me find this. Paste in chat here. Yeah, there are just some confessions developers make. Sometimes it's interesting to read. I copied you in the G chat. I think the Hangout chat.
Okay. Because I'm trying to type here without going to the exception back. Where is the chat?
Yeah, it's always the exception. Yay! Found it.
Okay. Back to the tab.
Just when you mentioned that someone is always trying to do something from Java in PHP, then I think I've seen
similar. Interesting file. Coding confession.
Yeah.
This is interesting because, and then there is a vote of solve and condemn. I'm a developer, but I barely develop anything because I have a client investigations to take care. I'm feeling like I become dumber and dumber day by day, even though I also work from home at different projects that I like. Of course, the jobs pay well.
The second one, I fear that Java will take everything that Scala introduced and Scala will die out. We fear that same thing would happen with PHP and Java. PHP will take everything that Java has.
It could be. It could be. That's a point. I wonder if there is a search for this site. Oh, no. Let's do something different. And use Google to search it. For instance, a guy say PHP sucks. PHP is not a language.
And there
PHP
are comments.
Is, and then 23 absolved. Oh man, this is bad. People can be so mean. It doesn't matter what is your preferred language, as long as it does the work. But okay, yep. This is an interesting site. And there are probably, let's search PHP and Java at the same time. My Java is, no, that's not that. This is, PHP sucks. Oh, people are so mean. Okay, never mind. This is just an interesting side comment about features that are being copied from other languages. So let's move on to another discussion. This time, one simpler to understand, which is this one about str begins and end functions. Basically, these are new functions that are being proposed. Man, PHP has so many functions to manipulate strings that I wonder if this isn't already there somehow. So basically,
no. Usually, you use str pos and check for the zero if it starts with begin. Because same problem is actually with JavaScript. It's only recently like introduced starts with, ends with, and now has polyfills for most browsers.
Oh, maybe that's it. JavaScript has it, so PHP must have too.
Yeah, true.
Okay. Well, I understand. But anyway, this is for probably PHP 7.2 because this is a new proposal. But it has variants or begin and end, and also case insensitive versions. I think it makes sense. You would write it some other way, but okay. This is a simple proposal. It does not even have a version of PHP being proposed for the next release. So moving on to the next proposal. This one is about get class to disallow new parameter. And actually, this is interesting because I was not aware if you pass node to get class, it will get the current context object.
Yeah, basically, it would behave like you were simply calling get class without any parameters, which in this case
it would be get class this, right?
Yes. And before knowing that, I thought that this proposal is kind of useless. Why make something that already works more complicated? But once I understood that, yeah, it actually would use this as a parameter and basically use current context, it can be it's not error prone. Basically, you pass some value that you hope is some other context, but it's actually was null, so it uses completely incorrect context, and you don't understand how your class that you're getting is some other class, for example. Yeah, so it's not error prone.
Oh, because it could be a subclass, right?
Yeah, it could be anywhere where you're using this class. Like you have a debugging class or logging class, which would call the get class on past argument to provide some debugging information or logging or stuff like that. And if you don't pass anything or pass null, it would use this debug class context, and basically you will never find out where this call is coming from.
Yeah, I wonder, because when you you could be in an object, but it could be the object would be in a subclass. So when you want to actually get the class of the current object, you pass this, right?
Yeah.
And
same thing happens when
the proposal is to disallow it.
Disallow null specifically. You can call get class with empty parameters or pass this if you want, but null specifically. Okay. So it would catch an error if you're passing some variable and expect some object to be there.
Oh, yes. So you don't pass a variable that is null instead of an object, but if you don't pass any parameters, it would actually return the object of the current context, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. It makes sense. So to make it work, you cannot pass null as an explicit parameter. Okay, now this makes more sense to me. I understand. Probably to catch some programming error, like you're passing.
Yeah. So I would assume such things would be handled by some linting processing, but probably,
You mean a static analyzer and the detector?
Yeah, that checks if you are checking for null and if get class can be called with null or not or stuff like that.
Yeah, I see. It makes sense. So this is yet another proposal. So moving on to the next proposal, this one proposed to deprecate the function calls to UTF-8 decode in UTF-8 encode. So originally these functions were meant to convert text between ISO Latin 1, ISO 88591, and UTF-8. Since this encoding was used to be more popular in the past, and nowadays most people are using UTF encode, so the proposal is to deprecate these functions. Yeah. I'm not sure what would be the advantage of deprecating. You would have
basically
to call them.
Yeah.
It says just call MB convert encoding instead.
Yeah, so basically the main reason, I also at first I thought, why would, again, you break something that is working? But as the author of our RFC describes, that UTF decode and UTF encode are only converting from the ESO Latin 1 to UTF-8. So basically, it would only work from one specific encoding to UTF-8 encoding, and it's not mentioned like in the method, in the function name, for example. So everyone is misusing, assuming it would convert from any encoding to UTF-8, and there are lots of problems and queries due to that. So
I see people that use this function know that they already have a text in ESO Latin 1. But I can see maybe if they are using some of those Arabic encodings, they probably could convert to UTF-8, and it is not true. I'm just not sure if UTF-8 encode does not have other parameters. Let's take a look at the manual. So here it is. No, it does not have any parameters. So it's just for ESO Latin 1. And yes, if you're using other encodings, you need to use a different function. Okay, I see the point. Okay, but anyway, I think when people would use these functions and see it does not come out right, they'll probably see it's not right.
He also mentions it that often only testing with ASCII text, which appears to work fine of the first sight, but and then they do not check it further and use it, and that gets messed up.
I see it. It's just to prevent a bug that could eventually appear for those people
who don't read manuals.
I think, yes, but the downside of deprecating is usually means that later they will remove it in a future version. So,
which would mean
I don't know if removing, because there is probably lots of legacy code that uses these functions.
Of course, probably.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if this is a good idea, but you know, it's would be yet another thing that is backwards incompatible. Okay. So moving on to the next proposal.
Again, deprecation.
Yet another deprecation. I think for some reason some people like the deprecate things. because once you use newer versions, it seems it may it must have to look new, like the old things cannot appear there, or else it don't look new. So anyway, this is a proposal to deprecate bundling pair and tackle, which are commands that come with PHP distribution, and replace with composer tackle. And it seems that I think tackle command was already replaced by pickle, which is a variant of composer for to work with a PHP extension repository, which usually was called Pekel. So in the introduction, the proponent, David Shafik, actually is showing a Twitter post, a poll. And he said, thinking about an RFC to remove pair from PHP 8. So I don't know if what this suggests. Is he proposing to tell people to not use the pair repository, or just the pair command? Well, I don't know. This
probably that PHP would not bundle anything related to pair. But the question is, can every library, framework, code that is in peer repository be transferred to Composer, not breaking anything?
Yeah, well, I don't know, because, well, for pair, it usually for PHP packages, but for Peckle, it is for PHP extensions. Basically, it seems to be similar commands, but they would install different things. So, I don't know, this is for PHP 8. This is just a proposal for now. And the idea seems to be that move on to use the Composer command. I don't know what is the opinion of the PHP core developers, because often they don't like to depend on external things. I mean, things that are not in the PHP repository, and they are not under their control. So that is why they add Peckle for installing PHP extensions, because it's a sort of a variant of Composer, but it was moved to the Git repository. So I think that was the idea. So they would have control, and same with Composer. If Composer is developed by an external developer that is not making part of PHP core, I'm not sure if they would like it. Anyway, I don't know if many pair packages are being actively developed these days. Many have moved to GitHub. And, it could be an idea, because I think Composer can also install packages from there. Hello, welcome back to the Innovation Award podcast, on which we'll talk about the nominees for May, either from PHP classes and JS classes. But as usual, we start from the JS classes. Artus, which ones would you like to comment?
Okay, let me share my screen here. This one.
This month we had like 5 nominees.
Yeah. Can you see my screen now?
Now it's many windows to see. Okay, I can see your screen.
Yeah. Go ahead. So, okay. The first one I wanted to comment is Power Tech Tools package, which solves OmSolo with AngularJS and MathML. That was an interesting combo and an interesting solution. So the author is Carl Holtz from Canada. And basically, yeah, what this package does is it can solve OmSolo by provided values, either BATS or OmSIM resistant. But basically, I was more interested where did AngularJS and MathML come in. Try to check more in the files, and yes, its UI basically is based on AngularJS. Still haven't found the MathML specifically, but in screenshots you can see that it provides this kind of tool that you can provide values and it would solve the equation, the missing values for you.
Yeah.
And even providing you the way how it was done.
Yes, I think Carl works with that that area with electricity or whatever. So this is probably a nice tool for people that need to work that area. I think this is a browser-only application.
Well, he mentioned that it uses browser storage to lock solver history, but it needs to be run from a web server if not using nwjs.io.
No.
So well, there's would be some things that run from the server side.
Yeah. It's nicer to see. I've never seen any application that uses MathML. I thought it was one of those standards that nobody uses, but okay. Always learning a new thing.
Yeah, and Carl got one downloadable ebook of choice by O'Reilly for this package. The next package is a JavaScript FOV parser, which can parse and extract information from Flash video files. And it was developed by Dantini Francois from France. And yes, basically, as I think we discussed, similar class in previous time was MPG parser. And then this can extract the information from Flash videos. So before even you upload it, it would try to get some metadata or anything it can about in this way. So I think.
Yeah, that's right. This is, I think it published several variants of the same class.
Yeah.
For scanning files, for instance, before you upload them. So you can get some metadata, information about the video file. In this case, it's for Flash video, but they have published others for MPEG and other formats of video files. So it was just a variant of the same package, but it seems to be appreciated.
And then the usage is, I think, exactly also the same. Just provide the path to the file, and in the code, you get the data. Human reading.
Yeah.
Okay. Dantigni got one ebook of Chesbeck Pact. So ebooks are off of Aurelio Pachter taken.
Yeah. Well, by the way, starting this month, there will be a new prize that authors can pick, which will be a pro subscription of the Live Coding TV membership. So you get access to the pro features. So this is both for JS classes and PHP classes.
I see. Okay, and the next package is Webfund JavaScript Intent Service Server, developed by Till Wechowski from Germany. And basically, this class can subscribe to a web service, to open specific web service on specific file mime types by registering web intent and then launching it. I think it also had a demo, but it was not very specific. We're just opening the pop-up just to show you that. Basically it was launch the Picker app on Picintent on Picker link. But it would be more like if you want to open doc file in Google Docs, for example. Probably also has a web service for that, so you can subscribe it with web intent. And yeah, this package like makes it easier, so you won't have to yourself and launch its specific intents yourself. It would register everything that you want to pass it and would do it automatically.
Yes, this is interesting because I took a while to review this package because I did not quite understand what it did, so I had to ask the author to actually explain to me what it was doing. And basically, what it does is it takes, for instance, a stream of data that could be a given MIME type, and it can be handled by a service that is implemented by this package. And I think that service is something that may actually not run in a browser tab. It could be a worker process. But since I did not try it myself, I'm not sure. I hope I'm being accurate.
Yeah. But basically, the web intents are itself the handling with different URL schemes and data passing URLs. Specific usage would be probably for that data URI, mostly with specific mime types. I think that's all on my part.
Yeah. Well, okay, on my part, let me share the screen here. Let's see if this works, because I need to find the right window, which I think this is one. Can you see it?
Yes,
so it's showing the innovation award winners. So the next package that I would like to comment is called JavaScript Loan Calculator Script. This is a reasonably basic package that can do some calculations on loans. So you can have some script. Well, now this one does not have screenshots, which is a shame. But basically, you can do some calculations. Just enter the values of loans, and then it show you the number of I think amortization payments, and how much you need to pay each month. Since I don't have loans to any bank or anybody else, I did not try this, but it seemed simple but also useful for those matters. And this one was developed by Joseph from the United States. I think he did not pick a prize because he did not reply to my message to ask which prize he wants. Sometimes these emails do not get to people, but they are entitled to nice prizes, and so they miss the prizes. I still insist on sending emails once and then move on. So, Joseph, if you are listening to this, you are still entitled to a prize, so just let me know. So, the next package that I would like to comment, this one from a top contributor named Anders Toth from Hungary, and he developed a Chrome extension in JavaScript that's called Subtitle Downloader. I wonder if, well, there are some screenshots here, fortunately, that show the package working. And basically, it can take a video file, probably in a server, and extract the video stream. I mean, it takes a video that is on a page, and it extracts the video stream and the subtitles, so you can download them separately using this Chrome extension.
I think that actually he made a similar package before, and we were talking about it and suggesting that it could be a great Chrome extension, so he went and made the Chrome extension.
Yes, but by that time I already knew that he developed the Chrome extension.
Oh, I see.
Because it was already nominated. Yes, so here in the screenshot you can see that it you just use a pull-down menu in the page, and you can download the video and the subtitles. This is an unusual package, but as you said, there was a package that can do this without being a Chrome extension, so we can just use some JavaScript code. So for the JavaScript Innovation Award, that is not all now. So we are going to move on to the PHP Innovation Award winners of June. Artros, which ones would you like to comment?
Sharing the screen. Okay, so the first one I wanted to comment is I don't know why, but this name seems to be very, very complicated for me.
Stringizer.
Okay, let's keep it that way. Basically, a package to manipulate multi-byte text strings as objects. It was developed by Jason Lam, some 604X, probably, from Canada. And yes, basically it can take a multi-byte string and provide some functions like canalize, concatenate, contains, dasherize, and swiss, start swiss, all the needed string methods that you will ever need, even some interesting ones like isDate, isDecimal, isEmail, isNumber, and stuff like that. So if you need to work
with multiple collection things, of functions, I think that is one of those backers that try to be the same as others that exist for Java, for instance, just to give an example.
It's even hard to find such a collection of functions for simple strings, and here you have for even for multibytes, so I think it's worth mentioning.
Yeah. And before you say that this author did not pick a prize, it's because he did not want to. So he's having great fun, which is great. He skipped his own prize, despite there are plenty of nice prizes.
Okay. Jason Lab, haha, I found you. Okay, next package is PHP time zone mapper. So the interesting part that it gets the time zone of user for a given latitude and longitude coordinates. So usually on browser side, if you want to detect something like that, you would detect it through browser settings, computer settings. On the server side, you have less access to user system. And if you need to find the user time zone, you would need to provide some additional information. So here you can get from latitude and longitude, which you can get either from IP to location or get it from the browser and then pass to the server. So provides more flexibility and would really work great in that case. And it was developed by Ahmed Redha from United Kingdom.
Yes, I'm not sure how he determines it. I think it needs to look on a map to figure which country is it, because even if you are in the similar coordinates, the time zone is different for the same country, so it needs to be what is the actual time zone.
Wow, so, it is a huge file, and I clicked on the time screwed.
Oh, okay, I remember. I was trying to remember what it did to actually figure. So it has predefined the shapes of the countries, so we can figure even if he is on the sea, which could happen. I don't know if it determines the time zone of some place on the sea. I think it depends to which country that a part of the sea belongs, right?
Probably there are time zones, probably more like vertical lines separating. I don't know. It could work in the sea, probably too.
And
Ahmad.
And this package is quite large. I mean, the class itself.
Yeah, it is.
I don't even know if I want to open the file because it will use a lot of memory in the browser to render it as HTML.
Yeah, that's the problem. I did click it, so I hope it will not crash for me.
But let me stop it. Let me close this tab. No, the tab is frozen. Browser is frozen.
You did it too. Okay, let me continue for now. So
it is showing just part of it for me, but it has frozen for a while. I don't know what is. It said that there was a script that was running. I don't know. It's probably some browser extension that was hogging.
Okay, and Ahmed got one ebook of choice by Pact for this package.
So. The first package that I wanted to comment is one that also I had to ask the author what it does, because it was not very obvious. It is basically a package made of classes that is a WordPress plugin that can import content from other sources. Let's say you want to write an article that in WordPress and that you want to show, for instance, some content from Wikipedia. Instead of typing the whole content, you just can put some marks in the actual article, and it will just insert that content, so you don't have much effort. So this is actually a cool plugin for WordPress. And it seems to support Markdown, as it says here. So now Markdown is very, very popular. And it can import local files, even database query results, which is useful, and even responses to remote APIs. So this is a cool package by Bimal Podel from Nepal. Bimal did not yet respond to the message to ask which files he wants it, so it is not a sign. So Bimal, if you are watching this, please contact the site to get the price that you want to pick. So the next package is from Jero Karateski. I'm Artus, I'm spelling this right.
It's hard to tell. No. Gero Krsteski. I'm not German, I don't know.
It's German, but sounds Polish, or
yeah,
which should be closer to you. Maybe you could know. I don't know if your language has similar words or names with these letters, so you probably
not exactly. Know better.
So basically what this package does, it's a micro framework that handles API REST HTTP requests using the React PHP framework. The React PHP framework is one for asynchronous programming. This means that you can do many things in parallel. For instance, if you are accessing files or remote pages or databases, you can use asynchronous programming to perform those actions at the same time. And this package is a micro framework to handle to implement APIs that use asynchronous programming probably to handle requests faster. Let's say if you want to perform multiple parallel operations in your API request call, and it will do it faster. So this package was developed by Guillermo, and the rest of the name I give up because it's hard for me. But also, I tried to contact Piero, and so far I did not get a response, so it has no price assigned to him yet. Okay, so for today, basically, these are the topics. Today was a kind of a shorter hangout. Let me adjust the camera. And with this we practically ended this podcast. I just wanted to check if this first experience with live coding .tv was working well. I don't know if you tried it.
It seems to be working, yeah, it's still showing a little delaying, but it seems to be okay.
Okay, so there is some people that typed in the chat. Unfortunately, due to this wall screen sharing, I was not looking at the chat. So if anybody posted comments or changes or questions, I mean, I don't know if it is, if I missed any questions. So for now, this is a first experience. We also will record other hangouts with this live coding, and it will be interesting to see if moving to this form of broadcasting, we will get more people to comment, because with Google Hangouts on air, we used to not have many comments, because in Google Hangouts, there are not many people following things. And in live coding TV, it seems to, there is lots of people that are there seeing live coding sections or sections on they are typing their own code and showing how things are done. So for the Lately in PHP podcast, that is all for now. We are going to record the other podcasts. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.